The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stettmiller, in studio on this, well, already, folks, the fourth day of December. Almost burned up another year here, 2019. I took a couple of days off. I was sick a couple of days, and I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that I unplugged to recharge ye old batteries. You know, around the holidays, you know, mainstream host will take a week, 10 days off. around here, we can't afford to do that. And our poor board ops, they're the ones that suffer because Thanksgiving fell during the week, and so is Christmas this year as well. And these are days they don't get paid. No worky, no pay. Yeah, we've got the best benefits in town. At any rate, I want to play you something, and then I want to get into what I've been thinking about here. And this quite frankly, puts it all in perspective. Today, I actually watched about an hour and a half of the impeachment hearings. I'm going to have Steve Elkins on next hour, and he wants to talk about part of that impeachment process. They've got nothing. I mean, it's seriously, this has gone on long enough. But there's no way to stop them because they're all over the committees on the judiciary here, and they're not gonna let up. They've got the votes on the committees, and they'll keep doing this, and they're going to put it in front of the Senate and to impeach Donald Trump on being what? They've not proven anything. Even, I'll tell you what, people have had enough of this. Even Devin Nunes, he's suing CNN because CNN lies with impunity. I mean, they just flat don't care. They will just flat out lie to the American people. And there's no pushback. Well, Nunes is pushing back. He's filing a defamation lawsuit against CNN for its November 22nd demonstrably false hit piece that said the California Republican traveled to Vienna in 2018 to dig up dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden. Yeah. Nunes did not go to Vienna or anywhere else in Austria in 2018, declares a lawsuit seeking $435 million in damages. He said he visited two countries, Libya and Malta, on a congressional delegation. And that was it. They even said that Nunes supposedly met with former Ukrainian chief prosecutor Viktor Shokin, which he didn't do. So they just lie with impunity, and nothing ever happens to them from the Communist News Network, that is. Well, evidently, Mr. Nunes is going to put a little dent in their failing pocketbook. Because people are fed up with this. They're not. You notice something? They're not doing a whole lot of polls because they can't even control how bad the polls are or the respondents to the polls. That's why they're not doing any polling on this. is most Americans are just saying, you know what, we've had it. You didn't have too much faith in the federal government, and you people are idiots, and you're doing nothing but dividing the country. Which I found rather fascinating, because here's an older clip on Richard Dreyfuss that he was on Tucker Carlson's show. And the reason why he was on there, and they didn't talk about this specifically, because you'll hear Dreyfuss say, I understand I have 6 minutes here. But this was a time that the Ninth Circuit Court blocked the Trump administration's attempt to withhold funds from sanctuary cities, okay? Which just about everybody was in favor of, except the communists operating in this country, along with their fellow backers, called the news media. Here's Dreyfuss on Tucker Carlson, and this just absolutely floored me. Here's a actor that has worked in Hollywood, gotten well paid, but is not toting the communist line. Au contraire, he's doubling down on the positions that's the antithesis, pretty much, to communism in this country. Why are you calling me when I'm on the air?
Oh, crap. I'm sorry. I'm in Union.
So last Tuesday, we had on Santa Clara County Councilman David Cortese to debate the legality of President Trump's executive order concerning sanctuary cities. It was an energetic debate. I'd like you to answer my question, which is a very simple one. There's a precedent being set here by a federal judge that states do not have to comply with federal law and can't be punished for not doing so. That is a major departure from where we've been for my whole lifetime. Do you think that the Obama administration was right to threaten a withholding of federal funds from states that didn't comply with its transgender bathroom laws? That's orders. That's a really simple question.
I'm telling you that this is the first president of the United States that's threatened with an executive order to withhold, in our case, up to $1.7 billion from us. It's unconstitutional for him to try to wield that kind of power. The federal court agreed with us today.
That's not true. So you're never quite sure who's watching when you do a segment like that. But in that case, one person who was Richard Dreyfuss, the Oscar winner from Jaws and scores of other movies. I was actually in bed doing email, and I got one from him. And I thought, that can't really be Richard Dreyfuss, but it actually was. He said, I want to come on, and he wrote this, quote, I would be happy to come on your show and explain this rudimentary illustration of the basic checks and balances to you and your audience. That sounded great. We are always happy to promote civic knowledge on this show. We're happy to have Richard Dreyfuss with us tonight. Richard Dreyfuss, thanks for joining us.
How you doing?
So I'm doing great. So I know you spent time at Oxford studying this, civics. I know you know a lot about the Constitution. I don't doubt that. I know you're smart. But where in the Constitution does it say states can do whatever they want in contravention of federal law and the rest of us have to be quiet and pay for it anyway?
It doesn't say that. It only simply says that the monies attached to things that the executive might want are right. The province of the Congress. And that what was said in the judge's ruling was that the executive didn't have the power to withhold finances because that's the province of the Congress. And that's all I wanted to clarify, because it is, as you say, a very rudimentary thing. And we should all know a hell of a lot more than that. And I want to mention, because I know I'm limited to 6 minutes, I want to mention one thing. The next night, you were talking about the speakers on university campuses.
Yeah.
And I am totally... incontrovertibly on your side about this. I think that any intrusion into the freedom of speech is an intrusion into freedom of speech. And when one of the presidents of one of the colleges said, this is a school, not a battlefield, I said, no, it is a battlefield of ideas, and we must have dissenting opinions on campuses. And I think it's political correctness taken to a nightmarish point of view.
Well, amen, and I agree with you, and maybe because we're both over 30, unfortunately most people under 30 don't seem to agree with us at all, and they believe in something called hate speech, which is somehow banned because they don't know what the Constitution says. But I want to get back to the first point really quick. I mean, this is a legal debate, and this is probably not the best forum for it, but let me just ask you a political question. I know for certain that this kind of thing has been threatened by many presidents before because I've seen it, and administrations often get states to do what they want them to do by threatening to withhold money. This happened less than a year ago in May of 2016 when the Obama administration threatened to withhold federal funds from North Carolina over the famous bathroom controversy. I don't remember any federal judge saying, well, you're not allowed to do that. Why?
Well, I have to beg off part of this discussion because I have withdrawn from partisan politics. I am a constitutionalist who believes that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights must be central and the parties must be peripheral. And
well,
I think
that
what's most important for me is what you just mentioned haphazardly. We're over 30. Civics has not been taught in the American public school system since 1970. And that means that everyone in Congress never studied the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, as you and I might have. And that is a critical flaw because it's why we were admired and respected for so long. It gives us our national identity. It tells the world who we are and why we are who we are. And without a frame that gives us the values that stand behind the Bill of Rights, we're just floating in air. And our sectors of society are not connected.
Well,
and that's
exactly
why
right.
Teaching civics, and I'm so glad you said that, because what's really important, Tucker, is that the assumptions of the left and the right are all skewed wrong. We have to find areas of agreement and areas that we share. And we do share the notion that education accomplishes certain things. One, it turns students into citizens.
Right.
And two, it teaches students how to run the country before it's their turn to run the country. And three, it teaches the values of this nation. People come from all over the world or are born into this nation without the values that we have here. That's why they came here, to get them. And what are they? You can put them in opportunity, rise by merit, and mobility and freedom. That's what we sell. And if you don't want that, you've chosen the wrong place. And you don't get a pass by being born here. You have to learn it. Even the Ten Commandments are not known at birth. You must learn them. And we must learn our values. And if we don't, we are fatally wounding ourselves. We will not have any way to really combat the ideas behind ISIS because we won't know our own. And we have to.
So typically I interrupt our guests and I expected to debate you, but that was, I agree with every single word of that. And I just want to say thank you very much for coming, for emailing me late night and for coming on to say that because I think it's important. And I hope that people watch
Can
this.
I give you one idea? Can I give you one idea?
Give me one quick
this
idea.
For everybody. Okay. Everyone knows the preamble to the Constitution, or should, and the preamble is in fact the mandate of America. And I say, if every parent and teacher and school superintendent and public political commentator signed the preamble as a gesture of support for the demand to bring civics back to the grades below high school graduation, I'll call a civic strike, and we will get the attention of all the people that deserve to pay attention.
That is a great point.
And we'll get it back.
If you do that, I hope you'll come on to tell us how you're spreading that idea.
I'm doing it. People can go to my website, which is thedreyfusinitiative.org, and it's on the website. Sign the preamble.
Done.
Well. Yeah, instead, our public school system is being used as a transmission belt for the government propaganda. Now, teaching quote-unquote civics in school about our country and our form of government isn't propaganda. It's called a history lesson. what we founded this country as, the form of government we installed versus what it has become now. And I don't even know what it's become. I was watching these hearings today, and they couldn't really make up their mind. And what was most deplorable about this is, they were actually talking about the founding fathers and what they meant and how this government was to be structured. And I'm watching a bunch of communists channeling Washington and Jefferson and like they're their best buds and pals, and it's the light unto their feet, which is exactly 180 degrees out. I am just thoroughly amazed. So maybe that's what's, maybe Dreyfus is right. I got to get this from a Jewish Hollywood actor on the status of what might be wrong with our asshats in Washington, D.C. Well, they didn't go through any civics class. They didn't learn the Constitution. But yet when they strived and spent millions of dollars and shook a lot of hands and kissed a lot of babies and, oh, did all that stuff to get that office, millions of dollars later, how do they take the oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution when they don't understand it, probably have never read it, and they're doing everything contrary to it, or at least its intent? You know, the protection of we the people, get the hell off of my property, stay out of my head, stay out of my stuff, stay out of my phone calls, my emails, you name it. All that is still being violated to the hilt under the guise of protecting us. You know, I'm tired of this protection. I went into Chase Bank last week to make a car payment. Well, they couldn't take my PayPal because, well, my passport had expired just a few days prior. So I thought, great. So what did I do? The next day I walked in there with cash. We're sorry, we can't take your cash to pay your Chase bill, your car payment, because you need an ID to do that. I need an ID for what? I'm paying, I'm not asking for anything. I'm not getting into any accounts because I no longer have accounts with you people. But now you're telling me in order to pay a bill, I've got to show you ID. Oh, yeah, it's part of the anti-money laundering. Remember, folks, when it was $1,500? You walk into a bank now to pay a bill for $2. They're going to ask you for your ID. And I find this rather odd. With the unconstitutional banking system we have in this country, we know they're pushing us to the cashless society, which is going to make it oh so convenient for the government through the IRS or any other governmental entity. If they figured you've done wrong, you might get a day in court. You may not. You ever gone to an IRS court? It's not a court. It's a tribunal of little tax bureaucrats sitting there lying right to your face. That's the court. So, here we have a government run amok, and absolutely amok, if you're at least paying attention to the divide in this country, this is something we may never recover from. And these are the sorts of things that internal struggles are started over. You know, a lot of people will sit and they'll watch other countries. Oh, disenfranchised, unhappy people. Oh, they start demonstrating. Then they start getting violent. Then they start trying to overthrow the government. And then the blood and the, yeah, all the tolls rise. And when do you ever think about it in terms that might necessarily have to happen in this country? Because these asshats are capable of doing just about anything. I don't think you have any doubt in your mind about that, do you? I think they have the capability to do anything to just about anybody they want. You want to know why they want to grab the guns, folks? It's because guns hurt. guns wielded in protection of your stuff, your liberty, you as a person? Those aren't sticks and stones that may break somebody's bones. Those are bullets that really can hurt you. This is why they need to get rid of the guns in this country. I keep saying this, and you know, every time I say it, I what I get back from people is crickets. I don't know if they know it, or they've never considered it, or don't think it's a point to ponder. I don't know which. But those are our liberty teeth. You know, we can sit around and debate and shuffle paperwork and do all that other stuff. And when it comes down to it, how much more are you willing to accept from this government? How much more? How much more can they do to you before you finally stand up, red-faced and angry, and just go, no, it stops now? Folks, it's getting strange. It is getting mighty, mighty strange. And it's to the point right now that it's odd enough and it's unrealistic and kind of this, I don't know, this dystopia of some sort. I don't know exactly what to call this. But it seems that people are kind of hesitant as to what they're willing to call, yep, that's solid and that's right, versus, no, I don't want any part of that. Are they starting to doubt their own assessments? I don't know. Those are questions. I'll just throw the question out there and I'll let you answer it. The thing that really grabs me, and after watching, yes, Mr. Elkins, I finally watched it. How many months has this been going on? And I finally watched more than an hour of it today. let me give you some gun facts here. And this is according to the ATF. We like to call them bat faggots around here, but it's alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. There's 423 million guns in America. That's 1.2 per person and 8.1 billion rounds of ammunition a year. Now, America's love affair with guns is only getting stronger. I'll take exception to this first line. You know, in all the years, folks, I have met people that understand what guns are, that are very proficient. They're very methodical in how they'll go to the ranges and then break their weapons down, make sure they're clean, ready to go at a moment's notice, these sorts of things. Yeah. But you know what? I've never met one person that has actually said to me, I just love guns. I've got guns. I got an AR-15, an AK-47, nice little pump shotgun, you know, some Russian stuff, just in case we run out of the other caliber stuff. Knowing full well I can only shoot one at a time. But that's okay. I'll be able to add to my armory as the war for restoration goes on. Yeah, I'll have my RPGs and any damn thing else I want. There's a history of armies feeding off of other armies to resupply themselves. It's quite effective, too. And in order to get that, you know, the payoff there is the enemy's dead. That's how you get to take their stuff. So it's like a bonus. Dead enemy? Oh, I get their stuff. Well, I've got guns, folks, and I can honestly tell you I don't love the damn things. I understand what they are and how they work and their intended use. Would I prefer not to have them around? You know, that's a question I've really never been asked, but you know what? It doesn't take up much space in my closet, and it can sit there and collect dust for now and forever. I don't care. Hope I never have to use them. But if I do, I've got them. And I will use them. There's no equivocation about that. We were already to be disarmed, folks. This global strategy was healthcare, control of the individual, getting all the information they can from, keep it on file, just to keep an eye on them. That's what all that control stuff was about. And then the ultimate control is once you got out of control, you realize you got a tyrannical government. Oh, go ahead and reach for that AK. Where did it go? Oh, that's right. It's gone. They've not gotten their national health care, but more importantly, they have not gotten the guns. And they never will. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? They never will. New federal data shows there's 422.9 million firearms in circulation, or about 1.2 guns for every person in the country. What's more, despite years of criticism of modern assault-style rifles, such as the AR-15 and AK-47, there are a record 17.7 million of those in private hands, proving that it is the most popular gun around. Well, wait a minute. If there's 422.9 million firearms, and only 17.7 million of those are either ARs or AKs, there's no breakdown there. What happened to the other 403 million, 404 million? Well, what are those other ones? At any rate, I'm not going to sit here and pick this story apart. But I sure do wish they'd get their stuff straight when somebody wants to write an article about firearms. Of course, this is ATF's information, so there you have it. Last year alone, the industry produced 8.1 billion rounds of ammunition. Now, the figures are from the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Bad Faggots for short, and were crunched by the National Shooting Sports Foundation. These figures show the industry that America has a strong desire to continue to purchase firearms for lawful purposes, said Joe Partozzi, president of NSSF, in a statement releasing the group's new report. And the NSSF is the National Shooting Sports Foundation. The modern sporting rifle continues to be the most popular centerfire rifle sold in America, and is clearly a commonly owned firearm with more than 17 million in legal private ownership today. The continued popularity of handguns demonstrates a strong interest by Americans to protect themselves and their homes and to participate in the recreational shooting sports. Gun shops contacted by Secrets, I wish they would explain who Secrets are, I don't know what group that is, said that they are seeing more and more purchases of semi-automatic weapons such as handguns and AR-15s due to the criticism of those guns by 2020 Democratic presidential candidates. Yeah. Sales have definitely been brisk, especially of small concealable handguns. We now saw a spike in sales of tactical rifles like the AR-15 and the AK-47, for which I think we can confidently thank Beto O'Rourke and Justin Anderson, the marketing director for Hyatt Guns in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the country's biggest retailers. Let's take this break. Got a lot of information to cram in here in the next half hour, and I'll bring Steve Elkins up into the second hour. Let's take the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Is isn't it great not to hear the name Beto O'Rourke anymore? Now, if I can just click my fingers and make the rest of them go away, man, I would do that in a New York second. During his short presidential campaign, O'Rourke called for a ban on the rifles. Other details from the NSF report shared with Secrets. Of all rifles produced in 2017, 54% were modern sporting rifles. In 2017, 7,901,218 total firearms were produced and imported. Of those, 4,411,923 were pistols and revolvers. 2,821,945 were rifles, and 667,350 were shotguns. An interim 2018 estimate shows that 7,660,772 total firearms were produced and imported. Of those, 4,277,971 were pistols and revolvers. Firearms ammunition manufacturing accounted for nearly 12,000 employees, producing more than $4.1 billion in goods shipped in 2017. And an estimated 8.1 billion rounds of all calibers and gauges were produced in 2018 for the U.S. market. Well, we're almost here to 2019, the end of 2019. I wonder where we're at now. Well, we'll have to wait for the bat faggots to release more of their information, I guess. Now, this was a Washington Examiner story. That would explain why it starts out with America's love affair with guns is only getting stronger. You know, these people, obviously this guy's not a gun owner. Because anybody that tells me they love guns, they need to be watched. You know? I love guns. I love to shoot them up, bang, bang. I like to blow stuff up. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is striking close to home. Dream scenario for pedophiles. Austin School District approves curriculum giving graphic sex tips to kids. Yeah. Powerful school board governing the entire city of Austin has approved a new sexual education standard that detractors are calling a dream scenario for pedophiles. It is set to teach kids that there are over 50 genders. 50 of them now, folks. Were you aware of that? Well, that's more than what? That's more than two alphabets. Let's just start calling them the A, B, C, D, E, F, A, G, and then just repeat that over again. 50 genders? And they're giving instructions on how to apply condoms for sex acts and offer tips on how to perform graphic sexual positions. Is this not insane to you? Why are these people still sitting in the school board? Why are they not jerked out by the hair on their heads? Why? You allow this to go on? It's your silent... They call this the Austin Independent School District. Approved the standards unanimously last month. At the meeting where it was approved, over 100 people made their voices heard about the standards. Pro-child advocates faced off with depraved LGBT activists who are delighted about the success of their efforts to corrupt the souls of the youth. One page from the new sex ed standards will give children tips about the best way to have anal sex. Wow. Wow, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just love it? Don't you want more of it? Well, keep sitting there silent, and you will have more of it. Maybe you just don't even care anymore. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why these things that they're calling human beings still are sitting in seats making decisions to corrupt the youth of America, but they're still in their damn chairs, aren't they? And quoting it, if you get ready the right way, it doesn't need to hurt and won't cause health issues. Another page in the new sex ed standards encourages children to receive birth control and abortions without their parents' consent. Damn it! It is a maxim of law. Until you attain the age of 18, you really don't have legal rights. You're under the care and the auspices of your parents. But the state has just stepped in and said, your children can do whatever they want to, and we're telling them they don't have to tell you. They're still sitting in those chairs, folks. They're still sitting there. You know what? I guess if people are willing to sacrifice their children, there's no reason for a fight, is there? Is there? After you turn 14, you can get medical care like birth control, STI tests, and abortions without your parents finding out. It's confidential and you don't need their permission. 14 years old, and these people are telling your children that they can do whatever sexually they want to do, they can get themselves in trouble, they can go have abortions or whatever, and they don't have to tell you. If people are not going to get excited over the corruption of the youth, well, then I guess you'll accept anything. And what's the sense of resisting it? Why not? Let's all of us just roll over and say, okay, you win, we lose. I haven't heard about any lawsuits against Austin City Council. Why haven't a group of parents gotten together and sued the council? Label this as exactly what it is, child abuse, child endangerment. It is not your job as a public education outlet for you to make decisions like this for our children. And everybody's backing away. Well, I don't want to be looked like I'm some kind of homophobe. And I'm like, so I guess I'll just kiss up to it and I'll leave it go. I'll let them have this generation, is what you're saying. I should have taken another week off. Holy crap. The Austin Independent School District had to scrap its previous sex ed plans because it had been formed in conjunction with abortion providers, which was made illegal by the state legislature in 2018. They decided to instead consult with the LGBT rights groups to evade the ban. Planned Parenthood is very pleased at the results. On behalf of Planned Parenthood and our review of these lessons, they are LGBTQ inclusive and comprehensive, and we will support all your efforts and leadership tonight, said Sarah Wheat, Chief External Affairs Officer for Planned Parenthood in Texas. Concerned parent Jennifer Flecht explaining what will be taught to an 11-year-old children because of this shocking new curriculum. How to put on and take off a male condom for an 11-year-old, folks. 11 years old. Carefully open and remove condom from wrapper. Place condom on the... If uncircumcised... I'll skip that part, too. I'm not even going to read this. That's how disgusting it is. For children. And just last month, a sex offender and drag queen. Notice I said sex offender. So I guess all is not right in the LGBTQRSUVWXYZ people. Because they have records of sexual abuse. But yet they're allowing the drag queens brought into an elementary school in Austin to speak to the kids. How about having a pissed off parent giving a speech after the drag queen talks? And let's have a good old fashioned dusting up. Let's start whooping these people's asses. I mean, come on! I ain't seen a fairy yet that could put up a good fight. They're too effeminate. But this, they're literally taking control of this generation right now. Not next year. Not 5 years from now. Now. And yet, here you sit. Oh, these wonderful little preverts, folks. Yeah, that just wanted to have a marriage license or at least to have property rights. And look where all that is gone. Wasn't that the original excuse? Well, we don't have any protections for marriage or dissolution by way of divorce. We can't even get married, so what's the stature of the property rights? Oh, that's how they came in the door, huh? The LGBT movement is intent upon invading every public place where they will have access to precocious young children, folks. This satanic agenda has progressed from marriage equality to open child grooming in less than a decade, in less than 10 years. And we reported it. We've told you about it, what they were rolling out. We told you this in July or August of this year, what they're going to be rolling out at the schools in September. And these prideful people, all these lesbian, gays, transsexuals, I don't know if I got an innie or an outie, or I don't know, there's 50 different shades thereof. I'm not quite sure what the hell I am. But I know I have the right to go in there and corrupt your child. Really? Really? The trap has been set. You didn't avoid it. It got you. Because you were afraid to say anything because, well, you might be considered to be a hateful person. Well, they might charge you with hate crimes. Well, you're damn right. I'll make the public proclamation right now. I hate what they're doing. All right? I hate that they're corrupting the children of this country. You know, is it any wonder, did it occur to anybody that these teachers start reading the internet, folks? And this is the stuff that they haven't scrubbed of how many school teachers are doing sex acts with their children in their classrooms. What? Let me repeat that. Teachers are having sex with your children in the classrooms. Are you okay with that? Well, then you're okay for just anything, I guess. And it gets even worse. Texas School Board has unanimously approved a proposal to introduce transgender education for children as young as 8 years old. The lessons will also help kids identify an adult they can trust. Yeah, you see what they're doing here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know this is controversial, but we want you to have every advantage. And here's people that we've handpicked that you can trust. And you can go talk to them so they can convince you to go ahead and screw up your life. Yeah, the lessons will also help kids identify an adult they can trust, plus talk to them about options if they get pregnant. The curriculum is being described as controversial. Yeah, you'd think. Given that that it will teach children as young as 8 about gay and anal sex and transgender identities. They're polluting our children's minds using your money to do it. That's the coup d'etat on this. This is the really remarkable thing. Two groups held dueling rallies outside the school district headquarters, including Informed Parents of Austin, a group which will seek to prevent bullying and enforce equality within the school district. Equality? Yeah, God almighty. Oh! Let me get off of this because I'm about ready to lose my mind. my friend Dan Sutterfield sent this over to me, and I can't credit it. Dan, I wish you would have told me where this came from, but I would love to have credited the author on this one. Wherever you stand, please take the time to read this. It is on our site. Please take the time to read it and pass it on. This ought to scare the bejeebers out of you. Dick Lamb. We know Dick Lamb is governor of Colorado. In that context, his thoughts are particularly poignant. Last week, there was an immigration overpopulation conference in Washington, D.C., filled to capacity by many of America's finest minds and leaders. A brilliant college professor by the name of Victor Davis Hanson talked about his latest book, Mexifornia, explaining how immigration, both legal and illegal, was destroying the entire state of California. He said it would march across the country until it destroyed all vestiges of the American dream. Moments later, former Colorado Governor Richard D. Lamb stood up and gave a stunning speech on how to destroy America. The audience sat spellbound as he described 8 methods for the destruction of the United States. He said, "If you believe that America is too smug, too self-satisfied, too rich, then let's destroy America. It's not that hard to do. No nation in history has survived the ravages of time." Arnold Toynbee observed that all great civilizations rise and fall, and that an autopsy of history would show that all great nations commit suicide. And here's how they do it, explained Mr. Lamb. First, to destroy America, turn America into a bilingual or multilingual and bicultural country. History shows that no nation can survive the tension, the conflict, and antagonism of two or more competing languages and cultures. It is a blessing for an individual to be bilingual. However, it's a curse for a society to be bilingual. The historical scholar Seymour Lipset put it this way: "The histories of bilingual and bicultural societies that do not assimilate are histories of turmoil, tension, and tragedy. Canada, Belgium, Malaysia, and Lebanon all face crises of national existence in which minorities press for autonomy. If not independence, Pakistan and Cyprus have divided Nigeria, suppressed an ethnic rebellion. France faces difficulties with the Basques, the Bretons, and the Corsicans, and the Muslims." Mr. Lamb went on. Second, to destroy America, invent multiculturalism and encourage immigrants to maintain their culture. Make it an article of belief that all cultures are equal and there are no cultural differences. Make it an article of faith that black and Hispanic dropout rates are due solely to prejudice and discrimination by the majority. Every other explanation is out of bounds. Third, we could make the United States an Hispanic Quebec without much effort. The key is to celebrate diversity rather than unity. As Benjamin Schwartz said in the Atlantic Monthly recently, "An apparent success of our own multi-ethnic and multicultural experiment might have been achieved not by tolerance but by hegemony. Without the dominance that once dictated ethnocentricity and what is meant to be an American, we are left with only tolerance and pluralism to hold us together," Lamb said. "I would encourage all immigrants to keep their own language and culture. I would replace the melting pot metaphor with a salad bowl metaphor. It's important to ensure that we all have various cultural subgroups living in America enforcing their differences rather than, as Americans, emphasizing their similarities. Fourth, I would make our fastest growing demographic group the least educated. I would add a second underclass, unassimilated, undereducated, and antagonistic to our population." Let me get my blood pressure down. Too much blood in my tongue here. "I would have the second underclass have a 50% dropout rate from high school. My fifth point for destroying America would be to get big foundations and businesses to give these efforts lots of money. I would invest in ethnic identity, and I would establish the cult of victimology. I would get all minorities to think their lack of success was the fault of the majority. I would start a grievance industry blaming all minority failure on the majority. My sixth plan for America's downfall would include dual citizenship and promote divided loyalties. I would celebrate diversity over unity. I would stress differences rather than similarities. Diverse people worldwide are mostly engaged in hating each other, that is, when they're not killing each other. A diverse, peaceful, or stable society is against most historical precept. People undervalue the unity it takes to keep a nation together. Look at the ancient Greeks. The Greeks believed that they belonged to the same race, they possessed a common language and literature, and they worshiped the same gods. All Greece took part in the Olympic Games. A common enemy, Persia, threatened their liberty. Yet all of these bonds were not strong enough to overcome two factors, local patriotism and geographical condition that nurtured political divisions. Greece fell. E pluribus unum, from many, one. In that historic reality, if we put the emphasis on the pluribus instead of the unum, we will balkanize America as surely as Kosovo. Next to last, I would place all subjects off limits, make it taboo to talk about anything against the cult of diversity. I would find a world similar to Heretic in the 16th century that stopped discussion and paralyzed thinking. Words like racist or xenophobe halt discussion and debate. Having made America a bilingual, bicultural country, having established multicultum, whatever that is, having the large foundations fund the doctrine of victimology, I would then next make it impossible to enforce our immigration laws. I would develop a mantra that because immigration has been good for America, it must always be good. I would make every individual immigrant systematic and ignore the cumulative impact of millions of them. In the last minute of his speech, Governor Lamb wiped his brow. Profound silence followed. Finally, he said, "Lastly, I would censor Victor Davis's Hansen's book, Mexifornia. His book is dangerous. It exposes the plan to destroy America, and if you feel America deserves to be destroyed, don't read that book." There was no applause. A chilling fear quietly rose like an ominous cloud above every attendee at the conference. Every American in that room knew that everything Lamb had enumerated was proceeding methodically, quietly, darkly, yet pervasively across the United States today. Discussion is being suppressed over 100 languages, are ripping at the foundation of our educational system and national cohesiveness. Even barbaric cultures that practice female genital mutilation are growing as we celebrate diversity. American jobs are vanishing into the third world as corporations create a third world in America. Take note of California and other states. To date, 10 million illegal aliens and growing fast. It is reminiscent of George Orwell's book 1984. In that story, three slogans: Ministry of Truth Building is war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength.
Audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.